Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty. We're going to be taking your calls and questions all throughout our show at 844-44-AG-PHD. If you get an agronomic question in mind or you got something you're working on your farm, we'd love to hear from you. You can also send us an email and get some soil tests in on email already today, radio@agphd.com. We're going to talk about them a little bit later in the show and take a few more questions that are already starting to come in the Ag PhD mailbag, which is great. You can also find us on Twitter, Ag PhD Media, or Darren Hefty. So our show today is about what's new for 2019. Now, that's a big topic because there's a lot of things that we could be talking about here. I want to start off by what's going on in our trade negotiations with China right now. We just got word yesterday that the Enlist soybean trait is going to be approved, and that's exciting. There is a lot of production that the Dow DuPont, Corteva, I guess whatever company would be at the time. Now it's Corteva, but they had a ton of production on Enlist soybeans, and so we're looking to see some of those beans potentially hitting the market this year. I guess we'll see what the timing is by the time all the approvals go through. But when you think about Enlist, this is a trait that we've been using in cotton in the South, and it's been working very well by all accounts. The issues with drift and volatility have been almost non-existent, and that's really refreshing when we think about some of the issues that we've had with some of the dicamba applications. Now, not saying that it was always used correctly, but we have had some issues with dicamba, and that's something that's gotten better last year, but there were still some issues. And so I guess we're excited with another new player for farmers to consider in the market here with the new Enlist soybeans. Now, I guess there's a few different ways I can go with that conversation. The one thing that I'm thinking about is, and why you would possibly consider that, and I'm not here to sell you on Enlist, but I just want to throw out a little bit of information that we've got. We've had Enlist soybeans on our farm now for a number of years. I think 4 years. It may only have been 3 years, but I think it's been 4 years that we've had Enlist soybeans on our farm, just in trials that we've had to destroy. Like last year, we had some Enlist soybeans and we had to till them under before they made seed because they weren't approved yet. But we actually did production on some Enlist beans a couple of years back, and just hoping that a label would be reached, but then we found out we're at an impasse here with China. So I'm glad that some of these trade negotiations, for this reason anyway, are coming to a head so we can get some of this stuff taken care of. But the new herbicide, the new Enlist One or Enlist Duo that are going to be labeled for the soybeans are pretty interesting. So the Enlist Duo is just Enlist plus Roundup. But Enlist One is just straight Enlist. And what that is it's a new type of 2,4-D. So it's not like the esters or the amines that we've had for years and years. It's 2,4-D choline. And it's quite different from the esters and the amines. Now, in terms of weed killing power, it still works very well. It's not losing anything there or really gaining a lot. I think it's fairly similar in weed control to ester and amine, at least from what I've seen. I guess we'll see when we get going here with Enlist soybeans. But the weed control is good. What's really changed, though, is the drift and volatility. I just was talking to one of the neighbors here this morning, just lives a few miles away from our farm. And he said, yep, I got an alfalfa field just south of my farm. And I needed to spray some dandelions in the yard last summer. And he said, yep, I know you've talked about Freelex, and that's a 2,4-D choline that can be used for pasture and rangeland and lawns and that kind of thing. And he said, I know you've talked about Freelex, but I still had some of the old 2,4-D in a jug. And so I was just waiting until the wind blew out of the south so I could spray my yard and it wouldn't end up in my neighbor's alfalfa field. So he said, I finally got one of those days, south wind. It's not very windy, but there's a little breeze out of the south. So I sprayed the dandelions, went in the house that night. I could smell that I had sprayed 2,4-D out in the yard, and I thought, okay, this is good. It's not going to end up in my neighbor's alfalfa. He said, wouldn't you know it, the next morning I go out and I see some alfalfa that's been nipped a little bit by 2,4-D. He said, man, I can't believe it. I did everything right, I thought anyway, and here we go. We still have some issue. And he said, wouldn't you know it, my neighbor comes that morning to check on his alfalfa. And I said, well, I got to show you something here. Look what happened at the edge of your field. And he goes, oh, you're spraying your yard? And he said, yep, spraying my yard. And he said, have you had a south wind? I don't know what happened. I just sprayed it yesterday. And unfortunately, the neighbor said, well, he goes, doesn't look like it's going to cause much damage. No problem. Don't worry about it. And sure enough, he cut the alfalfa. There was no big issue, fortunately. But still, it's something you don't want to happen. Well, we've been using this new 2,4-D choline now for the last 2 or 3 years around our Ag PhD field day site. And if you've been to our field day before, you know we've got probably a dozen crops on average there each year, maybe a few more. So we've got lots of really sensitive crops to 2,4-D drift. And we've got 10-foot walkways, sometimes wider, but a lot of times only 10-foot walkways, grass walkways in between these different crops. And this is something our research lead, Glenn, has been spraying in the grass strips to control broadleaf weeds is Enlist. And it's been working awesome. He's not only been killing the weeds, we really haven't nipped any of the neighboring crops. And that is completely different than what we would have seen had we used an amine or an ester. So I'm excited about it. These new Enlist E3 soybeans would be tolerant to Liberty or glufosinate. They'll be tolerant to this new 2,4-D choline. And they're also tolerant to glyphosate or Roundup. So they've got a three-way tolerance there where, yeah, if Roundup's not working so well for you, you've got a couple different modes of action that will be highly effective in these new soybeans. So we'll talk about that a little bit on today's program. Also take your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We're talking about what's new for 2019 on the farm. Should be a fun show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
In 1949, Morton Buildings constructed our first machine storage building to establish our bond with the farming community. Since then, our relationship has grown, and so have our product offerings. From the smallest specialized operation to the largest agricultural enterprise, we understand the needs of your business and continue to evolve to meet industry demands. Plus, when you build a Morton building, you're backed by the strongest warranty in the business. To learn more about the Morton Advantage, visit us online at mortonbuildings.com.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
When looking for someone to help with your risk management, a key component to look for is patience. Patience to bring you along in the process at your own speed. Patience to learn about your operation. And patience to not only discuss what strategies may be effective for your plan, but why they would be effective. That's the strength of Grain PhD. I'm Darren Hefty. When you're ready to become more engaged in your risk management, Grain PhD can assist you with that process. Visit grainphd.com to learn more.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty, talking about what's new for 2019. And I was talking about a new trait that's coming out for soybeans, and that means a new herbicide. Well, not super new. We've had Enlist out for a couple of years in other crops, but in soybeans, that's new. And so getting great spray coverage and making that thing work perfect for you is going to be on the docket. So we got Nick Flights on with us right now with Hypro Pentair. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today, Darren. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
You know, I was looking at approved nozzles for Enlist, and I see you've already got a bunch of nozzles, a bunch of Hypro nozzles approved, the ultra-low drift nozzles. And I think that's something that, as we go into this season, I know there's already farmers that I've talked to since this announcement came out yesterday that Enlist is going to get approved in China. There are already farmers asking, hey, can I get the new seed? And then the next question, how do I put it on? So what can you tell us about Enlist?
Yeah, so as you said, the Hypro Ultra Low Drift is approved. There were a few sizes, 04, 05, and 06 for the Enlist herbicide. And so similar to some of our other, you know, growth regulator herbicides, drift control, drift mitigation is a big issue and something that we have to keep in mind. And so ensuring that we follow those label restrictions, using the approved nozzles and making sure that we really follow the pressure ranges. That's very key. If we're using that an approved nozzle, but we're not in the approved pressure range, then a lot of those drift reduction properties we're not seeing the benefits of. So, you know, for instance, I think the ULD 04 has a pressure range from 20 to 80 psi on the Enlist label. So ensuring that we're staying inside that pressure range is going to be key in 2019 to ensure successful applications across the U.S.
That's a pretty good range, too. It's not like it's, well, you have to be 20 to 25 PSI or something like that. And I think, you know, here's one of those things, Nick, that I've probably had a few guys or a few listeners here that said, wait a minute, 80 PSI, that sounds like I'm going to have super small droplets, but we're talking about a different type of nozzle here. Can you talk about that, how you can get by using something like 80 PSI out there and still fall into that low drift category?
Yeah, and so when we look at the nozzle technology type, so there's different technology types of nozzles in the ultra-low drift and a lot of the other nozzles from other manufacturers that are on these labels are air induction nozzles. And so one way that they go about reducing drift and maintaining larger droplets is they use what's called a pre-orifice. And that's essentially a metering orifice that's upstream in the nozzle where all the pressure is at. And after that pre-orifice is the spray solution goes through that orifice, there's a larger low-pressure chamber between that orifice and the spray tip. And so having that low-pressure chamber inside the nozzle, it allows for reduced pressure at the actual nozzle tip where the pattern formation is occurring. And so lower pressures at that actual the spray tip where the spray is exiting allows us to have larger spray droplets than you see with, say, a flat fan nozzle where all that pressure is right at the spray tip.
Interesting. All right. What other new things are coming out, Nick? And I know for us, one of the latest ones has been the 3D nozzles, and I'll probably be talking about that at some point here. But are there some other things that we should be aware of?
There are. I'm going to switch gears on you from nozzles real quick and move to sprayer cleanout.
Okay. Oh, awesome.
And so for 2019, we have a new product for sprayer cleanout. And so it's a retrofit with the existing Hypro Express end cap that a lot of people are familiar with. It removes that dead end space, releases trapped air inside the spray boom, which then gives us the benefit of reducing shutoff lag.
Oh, that's been the Express end cap, Nick, has been awesome because I know when we got, we've had this happen a couple of times where we've gotten a new sprayer and we notice right at the end of those booms, there's some extra space, and that just fills in the first time you spray atrazine or a number of different products. So the Express end cap has been good. What did you improve on that?
So it has the pin and the plug that you have to remove to flush the boom out. And anyone that's worked with that end cap a few times knows that over time that plug can be a little tricky to get out. You have to pry it off, twist it around. So to get around that, to make sprayer clean out easier, we developed a stainless steel ball valve that inserts, replaces that end cap, that plug on the end of the end cap now. So if you want to flush your boom out, now all you have to do, rather than pulling that pin and plug out, all you have to do is flip the handle on the stainless steel ball valve, and you have an open flush to make your sprayer clean out more efficient and a quicker process.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that'll be nice. I agree with you. Once you use stuff for a little while, it can get a little tough. So this will be a big time upgrade. And, you know, sure, we've got so many different pre-mix products and products that you may mix with fertilizer or something else that could end up being an issue. So it's pretty nice to have a good way to clean the boom up. How difficult is this to put on for growers who haven't done this yet that say, man, I still have those issues at the ends of my spray boom? How much work is it to get this done?
To put the whole Express end cap assembly on is a pretty simple process. Something that you know, really any applicator or farmer with a few tools around the shop can do within a day. We have videos online giving a step-by-step tutorial process for that. And then if you have the existing Express end cap, you want to do the retrofit with the stainless steel ball valve, you can do that in just a few minutes by just taking the pin and the existing plug out, slipping in the stainless steel ball valve that fits on the end, and you're ready to go.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Nick, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I was ready to go with tips, and you got sprayer clean out, which is probably not talked about enough, that's for sure, and especially when we're looking at new technologies coming out, whether it be dicamba that guys are using on dicamba tolerant crops or this new 240 choline, certainly going to be a big deal in 2019. Hey, Nick, thank
you. We'll say real quick.
Sure.
If I had kind of like just a few extra seconds. Be on the lookout. There's going to be some new spray nozzle updates coming out very soon for Enlist and the other dicamba technologies. Can't quite talk about them yet, just due to regulatory and legal issues, but be on the lookout. There's some new updates coming with new nozzles from High Pro and John Deere for 240 and dicamba applications.
Outstanding. That's good news, too. Nick Flights with Pentair High Pro. Nick, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well. All right, well, there you go. Something unexpected already. We talked spray tank clean out to start the show. And, you know, this is one of those things that where we did see some issues last year, even on our own farm, we had one field that we didn't get the clean out done just perfectly. It can end up being a big mess. Now, it might just be a cosmetic thing and you just, I don't know, look kind of dumb when your neighbors drive by and say, man, what'd you do to your crop? But that's one thing. But another thing is it could certainly cost you yield and cost you dollars. So we're going to focus on that a little bit going into this spring. I know on Ag PhD TV as well, we're going to talk about spray tank clean out. And this will be one of those things that we talk about. Hey, there's some new tools for you for your spray booms to make life easier. Now, certainly you got to get the spray tank cleaned out as well. And there's some new updates on formulations that have come out this year, like a couple of products that I know we're going to be talking about at the upcoming Ag PhD Winter Workshops too. Fierce and Fierce MTZ, they've got new liquid formulations, much easier to work with and easier to clean out and those kinds of things. I'm excited about that. And there's other products as well that have changed formulations. I know there's a nitrogen stabilizer product, Pinnit Max, that helps with volatility, that they've got a new solvent, and that's one that's kind of exciting too, that, hey, this is now easier to work with, low use rate, those kinds of things. So sometimes there aren't always new products per se, but there's just improvements on those products to make them easier to work with. So exciting things for 2019 to make life easier on the farm. We're going to talk about some of those new things. Also, take your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back after this.
One year it could be moisture stress, another Pythium or nematodes. So you need your soybeans to rise ready for whatever the season holds. Now one simple decision provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio, fungicides, insecticides, bioenhancers, and an industry-leading nematicide that strikes where nematodes attack. This season, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/riseready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions. Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
What's new in 2019? That's what we're talking about on today's Ag PhD radio program. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today, and our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Kelly Brown with us right now with Acceleron. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Darren.
You got some new stuff to talk about. Now, we started with tank cleanout. I don't know if you're going to get more exciting than spray tank cleanout here, Kelly, but how about seed treatments? What's going on with seed treatments? What's coming that's new?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff that's new with seed treatments. You know, the first, I think, is something we've been hearing more about in the marketplace, but still an underestimated problem, and that's nematodes, right? So nematodes are in the majority of our corn and soybean fields, and yet we tend not to think about them because you can't see them. They're microscopic, and oftentimes you can't see damage above ground. But we know that they're causing us a lot of yield loss, and so we've got a NemaStrike technology available in both corn and soybeans this year. And we're really excited about that for multiple reasons. The first is that it stays right in the root zone. So if you think about where nematodes are doing their damage, this product really likes the waxy root surface. And it's not going to leach into the soil. So we've shown that less than 3% of the active ingredient ever leaves that root zone. The second thing is it provides broad spectrum control. So there's thousands of species of nematodes, and many of them feed across crops. And this single product is going to control all of those nematodes. And then the third is really around its length of control. So nematodes, they reproduce quite quickly, on average every 30 days, and this product's going to control them for up to 75 days. So getting you through that second generation of nematodes and into the third. So that's kind of the first thing that we're really excited for 2019.
Hey, Kelly, let's talk about that nematode issue just a little bit more. And here's the thing. Just like we talk about with weeds or other things, we want to take two shots at it. So we're recommending resistant soybean varieties plus a product like NemaStrike on the seed. So you got two different ways you're going after the nematodes, because I don't know if you read the latest Iowa State studies that Greg Toka had put out. They had reproduction on resistant soybeans up to 50%. It was like, wow, I can't believe it. Yeah. We're starting to lose some of the resistance because we've been relying just on resistant beans for so long. We need some help.
Absolutely. You're very correct. And you know, thank goodness for folks like Tilka that are keeping this top of mind, because we certainly don't want to be in a position where we're getting too far down the path of resistance and only have one management tool. So we recommend a holistic management strategy. Crop rotation is a part of that. Of course, genetics is, and then seed treatments as well. So it is a little bit scary when you start to see some of those reproductive numbers coming up.
Yeah, that was a scary study. Okay, let's change subjects then. Let's go to something something a little happier. Let's talk about your BioRise 2 corn offering. What do you got going there?
Well, I think biologicals in general are really exciting. A lot of times when we're talking about seed treatments or other products, they tend to be, you know, defensive type products, doing something for a pest. And biologicals give you an opportunity to kind of go on the offensive. So the BioRise 2 corn offering, it's a combination of two different biologicals. The first one is going to release phosphate that gets bound into the soil. So if you think about that fertilizer you're putting down, a lot of that can get tied to other minerals in the soil, so calcium or something like that. And this is going to break those bonds so that the plant can actually uptake the phosphate. So kind of making a lot more good use of that fertilizer dollar. And the second biological is something we call LCO. It stands for lipochitooligosaccharide.
Can you spell
LCO
that, Kelly?
It's easier.
Let's just stick with LCO.
I'm a spelling bee champion. Yeah. what it does, this is actually, I find this very interesting. So it stimulates mycorrhizae in the soil. And mycorrhizae are these little beneficial fungi, and they're really, really good at soaking up water and nutrients. Unfortunately for the mycorrhizae, they can't make their own energy. So they attach to the plant roots, and they pass that water and nutrients on to the plant, and in return, the plant gives the mycorrhizae a little bit of carbohydrate. And so what starts to happen is you get long chains of these mycorrhizae going out and exploring areas of the soil that the roots aren't getting to. So in those really small spaces between soil particles, these mycorrhizae can access water and nutrients that the roots couldn't get to on their own. And you end up with this bigger functional root system. So when you think about the two products together, you're first making phosphate more available, and then with the mycorrhizae, you're actually giving an expanded root system to not only access more of that phosphate, but to access other nutrients and water. So it's a really terrific product. As I said, if you kind of want to go on the offensive and make sure that you're getting all of the water and nutrient uptake you can. And then, of course, if you get hit with some poor environmental conditions, that's when you're going to get even more for your money, you know, because we need those bigger root systems when we're scarce on things like water.
You know, I look at 2018 as a year where a lot of the Midwest got too much rain. And when I think about it, when our soils are saturated, we've basically filled all the airspace in the soil with water, and we've killed off some of the beneficials in our soil. Adding more beneficials when we're planting our seed and getting them in close proximity to the seed and the root system, it just makes a lot of common sense to me.
It does. And in fact, you know, I'm here in St. Louis, and if you think back to some of the floods we had in 93, you actually got pictures where mycorrhizae populations had been completely depleted because of the flooding. and it absolutely devastated the crops. So, yeah, when you get too much rain, you absolutely need tools like this to make sure that you've got the right populations for these naturally occurring relationships to continue to happen.
All right. Now, here's the question I get from growers. All right, you're putting live microbes or some microbes that aren't live, they're in spore form, yep, or different forms right on the seed. How do they play with all the fungicides and insecticides and things that we're putting on our seed these days?
Yep. It's a very valid question, because there are plenty that don't play nicely. And so that's why figuring out the compatibility and the hardiness of these microbes early on in the discovery process is really important. So we screen for things like the time they're going to stay alive on seed well before we even start taking them to the field for trial. So that kind of thing is screened very, very early on. And then, of course, we're always doing continual testing on the compatibility as we maybe change our chemical seed treatments or something like that. So it is quite an arduous process to make sure that everything plays nice together, but that's part of the gig. And at the end of the day, these products are bringing tremendous benefit to growers and protecting that seed investment.
You know, as we go along here, it seems like each year we're adding a few more things to the seed. And the other question we get from growers is there room? Is there room for more things on my seed? I think the answer is clearly yes.
It is yes. And it is something we're going to continue to find ways to reduce load of existing products that we have and find ways to make sure that we can get everything that's going to benefit growers on the seed and make sure it still, you know, rolls through that planter nicely and it still has a great use experience for the grower. So that's a whole part of the process as well that we have to think about. And we're very blessed here at Bayer to also have a portfolio of things like polymers that can help us do that.
All right, we've been talking with Kelly Brown with Bayer with the Acceleron seed treatment piece, talking a little about Nemastrike and also about the new BioRise 2 corn offering. Kelly, thank you so much. Really appreciate all the info.
Thanks for your time. Have a good day.
You bet. You too. We'll be right back talking about more of what's new in 2019. We're going to talk about equipment coming up right after this.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence, too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
In farming, there's a lot of variables out of our control. Don't let fertility be one of them. Let the experts at AgroLiquid move you closer to your bullseye. It's true. AgroLiquid fertilizers are formulated to keep nutrients available to your crop, and they have unmatched compatibility with other nutrients and crop protection products, which makes application more efficient than ever. But we also have the best people in the field, ready to talk about your operation, your goals. Go to agroliquid.com to move you closer to your target.
We started utilizing the Dual React system this year. You can adjust your speed and it automatically adjusts your sprayer tips so you can slow down and you aren't building up huge droplets, or you can speed up and you're not throwing a mist that's drifting.
Hypro, helping you spray better.
Interested in strip tillage? You should know about the Soil Warrior from ETS. With one-pass efficiency, optimized nutrient placement, and reduced production costs for higher profitability, the Soil Warrior brings the future to your farm. Visit SoilWarrior.com to learn more.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Talking about what's new in 2019 and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can send us an email, radio@agphd.com, or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, or Darren Hefty. I promised we'd talk a little equipment on today's program, so we've got Ryan Blaziak with us right now with Case IH. Ryan, how's it going?
Good, Darren. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm finally recovered from the harvest season of 2018. We had plenty of issues out in the field, and I know a lot of growers you work with around the country had some challenges this year, to say the least. What did you learn coming out of that, and what are some of the important things going into 2019?
Absolutely. I learned that Mother Nature is always unpredictable, like always, and I'm sure that's what you were referring to there. But yeah, it was very, very wet harvest for most of our Midwest producers, and even really across the country. I know some of the guys down in the South were even having issues. You know, they were getting 2 weeks of solid rain there. So not ideal during harvest by any means. So unfortunately, can't do much about the weather. But we do have an awesome lineup of equipment here for 2019 to help combat some of those issues that you may see in the field as far as variability and just ultimately helping with harvest.
All right. So what are you excited to talk about with equipment with growers going into this year?
Absolutely. So we have some stuff that we're going to unveil at National Farm Machinery Show. That's about all I can say now, but it's very, very exciting. And it's, I think a lot of our customers will be very excited with what we're going to release there. But as far as harvesting equipment, you know, we made a big splash last year with our new 250 series combine that we launched at Farm Progress Show. And I'm really excited just to you know, finally get, you know, a lot of production units out in the field and get these in customers' hands and have them experience what we all experienced last fall.
You know, one of the things that was really critical was managing residue last year. We knew going into it, we're going to have one shot to get through these fields. We're not going to get back in time to get tillage done because it was just getting too late. And it was pretty wet too. I think the residue management has been kind of a big deal for our farm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of producers are now, you know, as they start thinking about it, maybe they're growing acreage or they're going no-till. They're really starting to look at, okay, what's my fall tillage or my fall residue management look like as I'm harvesting, because I may not get back in those fields. And at Case IH, we offer one of the most comprehensive residue offerings in the industry. You know, all the way from, we got a 24 blade chopper to a 40 blade chopper to a 120 blade chopper, and then even for those small grain producers, we have a extra fine cut. So we call that it's a reticop chopper that's mounted to the rear of our combine. That really allows for different residue sizing, much smaller residue sizing. And then spreader options, we have vertical spreaders, horizontal spreaders. So just depending on the customer's needs, his operation, and his residue requirements, we have them covered.
You know, we see that as we drive around in the country, we see where residue just doesn't get spread evenly, and it ends up being a problem all throughout the season. Do you see a lot of guys retrofitting their older combines with some of these types of add-ons, or is this something that you just find in new equipment?
You know, as far as retrofitting, it's pretty limited. You know, the biggest thing that I see when I drive around and stop and talk to producers, especially if I notice maybe the residue isn't spreading as well as the machine could, it's just making sure that everything's adjusted correctly and going through the machine before harvest if any wear parts or anything broke. That's a big thing here, and I think we focus a lot on the internals of the machine, right? Do I have the right concaves in the modules? Is my rotor configured correctly? But sometimes we may overlook the residue aspect of it too. And even things like, okay, is the, what we call the whale's tail, is that in the upper or lower position? And that depends mainly on crop type. So making sure the machine is set for the crop types and the conditions that the customer is experiencing.
You know, speak about all those conditions that we had last fall. I know there were definitely some times where we saw some combines were able to run, others were really struggling. You mentioned the concaves that you're running, certainly the rotor, all these things. What did you see as big factors with the agronomic design of Case IH combines last fall that turned out to be a huge difference maker for farmers?
You know, really, it comes down to a couple things. Number one, we have a comprehensive offering of traction offerings, too. So certainly tracks were pretty popular towards the tail end of harvest or even in the middle of harvest when we got all that rain. So making sure the machine is equipped. And ultimately, you know, the big thing is with all these rains and different conditions that we experienced throughout the growing season, that created quite a bit of variability within the fields. And especially you start adding in customers, a lot of long days, a lot of short windows to get in there and harvest that crop really took a toll on them. And so were the adjustments being made to the combine during harvest as frequently or based upon the crop conditions as needed? I think a lot of customers keep up pretty good at the beginning of the season, but towards the tail end of the season, they're just thinking about getting done and, just getting stick time and getting crop through the machine. And really, that's where AFS Harvest Command comes into play and benefits the producer.
Yeah, what's happening with your Harvest Command system?
Absolutely. So new on the 250 series, we have our automation system, and that is AFS Harvest Command. So we utilize 16 sensors to control 7 combine functions. So we're looking at all aspects of the machine, not only the threshing separation, but also the cleaning to yield, to ground speed, to ground pressure, even to sieve pressure. We have a lot of great sensor technology out there. We're using that to control things like forward ground speed, rotor speed, fan speed, sieve openings for both upper sieve, lower sieve, pre-sieve. And the new exciting feature that we have on the 250 series combines that's also controlled by AFS Harvest Command is my cage vane position. You know, for a while, we've really been touting adjustable cage vanes. And sure, they have been adjustable, but to a lot of producers, it was a pain. I'm sure you guys know running red combines to get in there. Any combine really, once crop's been through there, or hopefully you didn't ingest a rock or two. But if you did, things tend to, maybe bolts are slightly bent, so it becomes more difficult to make those adjustments. And that's really what we tried to focus on when it was the 250 series was, okay, how do we bring some of those features to producers that they've been asking for? So we completely redesigned the feeder house. Focusing mainly on quality reliability issues. And then we looked at, the ground drive too. So we went from a 4-speed ground drive to a 2-speed ground drive, and that gave us increased tractive effort. It gave us a wider speed range and increased gradability. So really helping the producer during his harvest, getting out of the field, even roading and transport. And then ultimately looking at feature sets like adjustable cage vanes. So now I can adjust them from in the cab. I have anywhere from a very slow position to a fast, and it shows up on the display. So with a button press, you can change your cage vane position, and even with the pre-sieve as well. So really adding a lot of feature sets to producers. And I think that's one of the big things that our producers are starting to realize that demoed the machine is how impactful those cage vanes really are, not only in hard thresh conditions, it makes it very easy to get unthreshed rotor losses, but in easy thresh soybeans, you can advance them. You have a cleaner sample, you pick up sometimes, over a mile an hour, and you reduce your horsepower consumption. So really helping the producer in harvest, trying to maximize it and gain that throughput that his machine's capable of.
Yeah, you talk about the automation, and this is something that's just been fantastic. And I know, from my dad, he hasn't been running the combine now for a number of years, and he's like, I just can't believe all the things that you're putting in there. And again, we're taking another step forward with the new 250 series. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting, right? I'm really excited about that.
It really is, Darren. I've seen producers or even dealers that, you know, the guys at the dealership, maybe it's a CFO of a major, you know, dealership chain that we have, zero combine experience, very little ag experience. I got them up in the machine, told them how to turn the park brake off, engage the separator, and then engage the feeder, and turned on automation. And he came back and said, wow, harvest is really easy. And, you know, we know that it's not always that easy, but it's pretty amazing when you can do that. And it's not only for the inexperienced operator, too. It's for the experienced guy. You know, we've seen tremendous gains in grain savings, so reducing losses and then ultimately grain quality and then maximizing that throughput. So really focusing on, you know, as we get tired, as harvest drags on, you know, the machine can make adjustments up to every 20 seconds if needed based upon the crop condition.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not going to be doing that after 16 hours on the job, so we need the automation. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
White mold, sudden death syndrome, root rot. If you raise soybeans, it may seem like you have all the cards stacked against you when it comes to disease. But did you know there is a new cost-effective seed treatment which can help prevent all three? Heads Up Seed Treatment offers a new proactive approach for dealing with fungal and bacterial diseases. Compatible with other seed treatments, hedge your bet against disease this spring. Ask your dealer for Heads Up today. To locate a dealer, visit headsupst.com.
No secrets here, we all know. Regardless of the markets, balanced crop nutrition pays. Agro-liquid fertilizers have the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Agro-liquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agroliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutec's EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutec's EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutec's EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Want to turn smart agronomics into smart economics? Go with the all-new Grow Smart Rewards program. 1. Start with a smart agronomic plan. 2. Qualify with the purchase of a participating BASF herbicide. 3. Earn $1+ per acre for each qualifying pair-up brand. Plus, you may qualify for an additional $75 per gallon back on our industry-leading fungicides. For full program details, go to growsmartrewards.com. Grow smart with BASF.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Been talking about what's new for 2019, but we're also taking your calls and questions today at 844-44-AG-PHD. I got Nick with us right now on the phone. He's out in Indiana. Nick, how's it going?
Pretty good, Brian. How about yourself?
Good. I got some soil samples here from you, and I assume this is probably what you want to talk about, but you got any other questions besides these?
No, let's just go ahead and use the time for the main question here.
Okay.
So I took your guys' soil test app, and I did one field to kind of try it out.
Yeah.
And then I took your guys' I was looking at your guys' recommendations, and it's in pounds of element pounds of the element per acre. So sure. I redid that to where it was pounds of product per acre, just because that's what I'm used to seeing.
Gotcha.
And so when I did that, and I still did the maintenance plus build, so everything matched up. And so pound for pound, for like the 11520 and the 060, you know, it matches up from element to pounds per acre.
Okay.
And then when I went to do the lime in pounds of lime per acre versus the tons, it doesn't match at all.
No, I noticed that. It's way off. I wonder what we've got going on. Because I did kind of look through your P and K stuff, and that looked pretty reliable. But yeah, we looking at your lime ratings, you've got anywhere from 0 to 3 tons of lime in one spot requested, and then you look at pounds of product, and it looks like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Oh, it's just 6 ton, basically.
Yeah, the variable here is, I don't know what kind of lime we're talking about. So when it says lime 42, what does that mean? Is it 42% calcium?
I don't know. I just clicked on the lime on the drop down item.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
I just clicked lime.
Okay.
And that's the only lime on there.
Yeah, so. The thing that we run into on our farm, we get a lime source that if we spread 6 tons of it, we end up with only 2,000 pounds of calcium. So trying to figure out how much calcium we actually need, it depends on the lime source and how concentrated it is.
Okay, so then that may be, well, again, okay, all right. Well, I wonder if I should just, you know, just cap my recommendation at like 3 or 4 ton and go from there, maybe.
You sure could. You know, the other thing I'd like to see is just the analysis on the lime.
I tried sending it to her, but I like kind of last minute, and it didn't go through, I guess. So,
okay. Yeah. That would be that'd be the other thing to take a look at and just see. And if that gives you some answers, that might help you. Cause like, with your potassium source, you're using potash. So that's 0060, and that helps you. And that 60 is actually K2O potassium. It's actually 50% actual potassium. So, it may be another thing that gets you the conversion on, potassium to, pot to K2O potassium, you just multiply times 1.2. And with the 0060, the 60 in that is actually K2O potassium. So you divide that 60 by 1.2, you get 50% actual elemental K. So that'd be something to watch too on some of these conversions. It can get a little bit tricky sometimes, and you know, not such a big deal on P or K, other than you may spend a little extra money or not get quite as much as you want, you know, depending on which way you go with your conversion. But with lime, that can be a problem. If we overdo lime, we could have an issue with soil pH, we could have an issue with nutrient tie-up, and a number of different things that you certainly don't want.
Well, that's what I was worried about. Yeah, like that point number 2, it's got 6 ton of lime there. And that's kind of, I guess, why I wanted to make sure, like, should I go ahead and spread that or should I cap it?
Yeah. Well, again, it comes back to how much calcium's in there. And we don't really like to spread much more than, 2,400 pounds of calcium is Neil Kinsey's rule. He doesn't want to see any more than that in one application. So I would want to make sure we aren't dealing with something that's more than 20 or 25% calcium if you're going to spread that much.
Okay. Okay. So you said 2,400 pounds of actual calcium.
Yep. In 1 year. That would be the limit. And then the other thing with lime is typically, and it depends on a lot of factors here, but just a rule of thumb is it's going to fully express itself over 3 years. So if it's a really fine grade, it may express itself a little bit quicker, but it may take 3 years for the full effect of that to come. So if you're putting lime out, make sure you're coming back, you know, 3 to 4 years later, doing another sample and just see, okay, did I get the job done that I wanted? Now, in the case of that one zone there,
you must have to move pH quite a ways. So you may want to check it each year just in that spot just to see what's happening out there, to see if it's working, because you probably have more than one field, and you might want to be putting lime in other spots too. So it's kind of good to get that experience as you go. But yeah, that it looked like a lot to me too. I was like, wait a second, how did we go from 3 ton to 11,000 pounds? But it could be, you know, just the calcium percentage in that lime too.
Okay. Like I said, I just clicked on the only lime option that there was, really. So, okay. Well, I'll do the math on my lime source, and then I'll cap it, you know, whatever's 2,400 pounds actual, and then I'll go from there. I've been doing a kind of a get your soil right year one kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then spreading removal for 3 years after that, and then resampling. So basically sample every 4 years, spread a lot year one, and then kind of maintenance for 3 years, and then go back year four and see how I did.
Yeah.
And it's been working out. So
yeah, I like it. That sounds like a good approach.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Nick. Really appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, it's always interesting as you get making your own fertilizer recs, just to get another opinion and make sure that, you know, hey, I'm doing some figuring here. I just want to see if my numbers are right. And maybe that's you have your brother figure it through as well, or you have your wife figure it through, or somebody else in the industry. But if you've got a question ever, if you're saying, man, I'm in the same boat as Nick, I'm trying to do some of this stuff on my own, feel free to send those samples in. We'll definitely take a look, and we can try and walk through those with you. To hopefully give you a little more confidence, or maybe answer any questions that you might have. That lime one is a big deal when you think about tons. There's such a difference in lime sources that it's really important to get a sample of the actual lime that you're going to put on. And you may have a couple of different choices too that you could be looking at when it comes to lime in your area. We've got some water treatment plant lime. We could certainly get pelletized lime and ag lime and a number of different sources on our farm. It just comes down to, well, what's the cost going to be to accomplish the goal that we're going after? You know, a lot of those types of things, Brian, you know, you think about phosphorus sources, potassium sources, those can really vary depending on the concentration of the nutrients in them as well. Oh, did I lose you there, Brian? I think my brother's trying to get on here, calling in as well. Well, we're talking new products on today's show and some of the new things that are happening in agriculture. And in the meantime, we've gotten a number of questions in. Let's maybe jump into – I'm making Janelle work today. Jump into the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, this one comes from T, and he says, it could be she, I guess, I'm not sure, but T says, what do you think about spraying bacteria, I call it bugs in a jug, on corn stalks to help decomposing them? Many people are telling me that farmers need to use less N, P, and K. Clearly, my local fertilizer dealer would love me to use more N, P, and K. Well, hey, T, thanks for the question. We appreciate that. So getting residue to decompose and break down and start to release those nutrients that are in the residue is a big deal. The challenge is the timing of doing it. Now, for our farm this year, by the time we got done harvesting, it was frozen outside. And once we're below freezing, we're just not going to get much activity breaking down those stalks. So time is a big deal. Heat is another big deal. If you still got warm weather for a while, maybe you get done with harvest, say it's the 1st of October, but it doesn't really get cold until November in your area. Yeah, you've got some time there for those bugs to do some work for you on the stalks. So that could be a big thing. And then the other thing would be rainfall too. So you have to think about what that environment's going to be on your farm. Now, in order for residue to break down, microbiology is going to need some nitrogen available. So sometimes that might end up involving a nitrogen application at the same time to give something for those bugs to utilize to help breaking down that carbon source that is your corn stalk. So yeah, you definitely can do it. You would just have to do it earlier when you have more time to have more heat to get those bacteria to do their job. Thanks for listening to today's program. Thanks for your calls and questions as well. And be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.